conservative and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are going to one of my favorite segments of every week. We call it the Grand Council. Copper, let me get a roll call from you. Do I have a Jeff Poor on the line with us?
You do.
Jeff Poor is on the line, and do I have a Dale Jackson also on the hook?
Bam, bam, bam!
All right, Copper, you got a sound effect? Hit the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, we have a quorum. Gentlemen, the Grand Council is assembled. Thank you for being here with us one more time. We got the usual rules and stipulations and burdensome regulations. We're going to each take turns pinging each other with questions and just see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. And I think I'm going to go first this time because the notes that I keep that Dale doesn't believe that I have indicate that I'm first. So anyway, here's
fake
the deal.
News, fake news, fake news, fake news.
Anyway, here's the deal. So this morning I was reading, prepping for the show, the Crimson White, which I believe is the student-led newspaper or the campus paper for University of Alabama, had an op-ed by a student named Alex. I'll just leave it at Alex. And this student was basically, it was a total Chicken Little article calling for Bryant-Denny Stadium to have mandated masks and proof of vaccine to allow admission for games because otherwise these games are going to become super spreader events, even though they haven't been documented as such yet. My question to you is this. It's a general sense that people are getting fed up. Do you think if they wanted to, they could even make a mandate for masks and vaccinations at Bryant-Denny or any other NCAA stadium right now if they wanted to? Your thoughts. Go, Jeff.
They would burn down the stadium, probably. No, I don't think so. It's just typical liberal tripe you would read in a college newspaper. But no, my I saw that op-ed, and my hope was, well, maybe we'll get a movement from the Alabama student body to cancel the entire football season.
Wow. That's the only way that some of us will see victory in the Iron Bowl, if that
I had no happens. Problem with that. Take them where you can get them, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, bro, I'm saying. All right, what do you think there, Mr. Dale?
Well, Florida already lost to Alabama, so I don't think that's going to help me all that much. But I will say this, and this is the thing that I think most people need to say to kids like this. That's adorable, isn't it? Isn't it adorable? Look at him. Look at the guy with that opinion. It's adorable. It's like they're out of their parents' house and they think they have like opinions that matter. It's just, it's cute. It's absolutely cute. No, this is not going to happen. What an absolute joke. The numbers are going down. Yep. In spite of the football games that are happening, you would think, common sense would tell you, if it was a super spreader event, we would have already seen some sort of super spreader aspect to it. So, yes. No, but, you know, that's adorable. Go back to class.
Yeah, that's one of the classic examples of where you're allowed to look at them and go, bless your heart, and they know exactly what that means. That was a total insult. Bless your heart. And that's where I see it, too. I mean, I look at this, and I did an entire monologue on this this thing, and you know, I don't know if Alex is a guy or a girl, but the bottom line is Alex is living in fear, and I think that's one of the biggest problems. Is the biggest symptom of COVID that continues to trickle through society is people are living in fear, and it's time to come out of the shadows. All right, Jeffro, I'm going to you next. What's your question?
This dust up between Alpha and Mo Brooks is this? First off, why does Mo Brooks respond to anything Alpha does? But secondly, it seems to be giving this whole discussion about who Alpha endorses life. And I know we talked about it last week and what it meant. But by virtue of Congressman Brooks talking about it, isn't he giving it more attention than it would have gotten otherwise?
I'll let you go, Dale.
I think so, and I think that's by design, because if you listen to what he's saying here, he is just using that as another opportunity to get his talking points out that a majority of the Alabama electorate will undoubtedly agree with, and he's casting the people promoting and endorsing his opponent in the way he wants them cast. So I think it's an interesting idea that he's decided to run with. It's his entire strategy. I think we've all seen it. It is to not let any slight go and also call out every single person you disagree with by name and for the reason you're calling them out. I like it, the strategy, personally. I think that in this case, you didn't get the endorsement. So tell people why you didn't get the endorsement. Make it about you.
Well, and I'll jump in on this and say there's a fine line. There's an old adage in politics that if you start responding to everything that they do or say, then eventually you're dancing to their tune, and so you don't want to be in that trap, and it can be a trap, and there's times when you need to march on, you know, in your own direction and make them follow you. I don't see the value in this lashing out. Me personally, Alpha. Has a following, and do you want to anger the following? Because there's people that may have gone, Alpha endorsed him, but I like Mo's positions. But then they start getting mad because their organization's getting picked on. I don't know. I don't see the value in it. What do you think, Jeff? It was your question, but what do you think?
Just stop talking about Alpha, Congressman Brooks, if you're listening. I'll tell you what, you're starting to make people mad that did, you know, they may have got the Alpha endorsement just by virtue of being the only one in the race, and you're calling them open borders, pro amnesty. That's what they hear when you say that. You got to pick and choose your fights. This is a fight you just let go because you're going to probably be the next U.S. senator. Why make one of the biggest constituencies in the state even more upset with you?
Shouldn't they be worried about being upset with him being upset with them?
Well, I'm talking about there are members of Congress, his colleagues up there, that he's upsetting by saying they by getting the endorsement that they may or may not have solicited. Saying that they are open borders, pro amnesty, et cetera, whatever his talking points are.
Interesting.
All right, Dale, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to keep pumping this as hard as I can, and maybe it's probably, it is futile. I know that. Tennessee, they are saying, hey, we're going to have a special session. We're going to deal with masks in school. We're going to ban them. We're going to deal with vaccine mandates. We're going to ban those too. Alabama has a redistricting special session coming up. Any chance KIV is even going to consider talking about that in the next special session that's coming?
I'll jump on it. As much as I want her to, I don't believe she will. I mean, right now, there's not even been a statement that I've seen from the governor's office about the letter. Well, I take it back. We did see the hit piece that was written by Alabama Political Reporter, which probably got paid by someone to write that, about the letter that was sent to the governor's office requesting that she set some things about vaccine mandates on the special session agenda, and not a peep out of the governor's office. I think they're running status quo on this. And I doubt we're going to see it. I had Andrew Sorrell on the show yesterday. He's got a number of bills. He's been pressing the governor's office. I know he's probably not the governor's best friend, but nonetheless, no response from the governor's office, and I'll be surprised if she does.
And I'll agree with that. I she's not going to go against the state health officer right now. They've had kind of a cordial relationship, and he's not, you know, he could. If Scott Harris wanted to come out and criticize the governor for not going any further, he could, and nothing would happen to him because of the weird, strange law we have, how we pick our state health officer. I don't think she is going to go against him. They may disagree behind the scenes or whatever. We'll never know. But publicly, no, and publicly would be by adding something in the call about this in a special session.
Your question, Dale, what are your thoughts on it?
I think that you're both probably right, and I think that that's insane. People are going to lose their jobs over this, and it is just we are leaving them completely hanging in the lurch. And to everyone listening, don't contact your legislators about this. You need to contact the governor's office. I totally agree with that. I think, a dereliction on her part. She's going to let citizens in Alabama get fired. That's what's going to happen here. They worked during the pandemic, and now we're throwing them away.
Totally agree with that. And fellas, it's a perfect opportunity there for us to go to a short break. You guys hang on if you don't mind. We'll do the Grand Council when we get back with the next round of questions. Listen, folks, it's News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Also live online at rightsideradio.org. Just click Listen Live, and wherever you is, there we is. That's right, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back with the Grand Council. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, hosting the Grand Council with my friends Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coast, formerly of WVNN, and also our own Dale Jackson, who's here from WVNN, our program director, morning show guy, all-around extraordinaire. So listen, all right, fellas, going to question number two from me. All right, I had to pick and choose among some questions I had, but I'm going with this one. So they just had the special session. You know, they just spent, you know, scads and scads of money, part of which is $400 million from the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief stuff from the federal government. And then, you know, right at the last second, we saw the attempts by Democrats to fuss, and Jerry Nadler, the troll from Congress, the House Judiciary Committee, he wrote a letter to Treasury saying, do not let Alabama use that $400 million for incarcerating people. Now, Alabama thinks it can do it, and they moved ahead with the plan, but the risk is still there that the Treasury Department could come back and say, that was not allowed, you have to pay it back. Your thoughts, do we ever have to pay it back?
Zero chance. Just look back at everything else going on in this country. Pittsburgh is using that money to buy electric vehicles. I wrote about this at yellowhammernews.com. Pittsburgh is using that money to buy electric vehicles, and they're using that money to test a guaranteed income program for 200 African-American low-income women. Oh, so wow. I don't know what that has to do with the pandemic. So good luck going around the country and picking this money up. Jeff Poor hates when I say this, so I'm going to say it again. Kay Ivey should say, come and get it.
I give it a little higher than zero, but not much higher. But let me, the difference between what you're talking about, Dale, and what the reality is, Democrats are ideologically opposed to prison construction under any circumstances, including their own Department of Justice saying you need to do something. It doesn't matter what the criteria are. They're going to make the rules up as they go along. You need to say because Pittsburgh is spending COVID money on guaranteed income or any kind of other social engineering doesn't necessarily mean that they won't find a reason to tell Alabama no. However, the money's in the bank, and if they do come after Alabama, they'll sue Alabama. It'll get locked down in court for a while. They will just wait them out until a Republican is president of the United States, and that Republican DOJ will just drop the suit, and then it'll be too much of a chore to come back and get the money. So that's why I give it a little higher than zero, but it's totally different. You're trying to assume the Democrats, a Democrat Treasury Department, is going to make everything all equal on a level playing field. It's just not going to happen.
I tend to agree with slightly higher than zero. All right. So, and here's my other thought. And this is pure conspiracy theory on my part. I have nothing else except for Phil Williams' conspiracy mind to say this. But to me, part of the reason we may not be seeing any attempts to push for vaccine mandate pushbacks in a special session is because if we fuss too much, they may come back with a punitive measure about this money for the prison construction. You wouldn't help us with vaccine mandates? How dare you use the vaccine money for something else? So anyway, I don't know. But I do think I agree with Jeff. They hate prison construction. That was the whole crux of Jerry Nadler's article or letter. And I could see it being slightly higher than 0%. All right, Jeff, you're up, my brother.
All right, we're going to keep it here at prisons, but Attorney General Marshall, Steve Marshall, had a scathing op-ed earlier in the week, just hammering, and particularly the Alabama legislature, members that were going after the legislature for considering sentencing or criminal justice reform. A few of the membership have backed up General Marshall on this. Connie Rowe at Jasper, our friend Chris Elliott down here on the coast here in Baldwin County. But there's been some, I had Arthur Orr on the show today, some think that he is just taking a situation of an officer killed in the line of duty in Sheffield, politicizing it for his own gain or whatever it may be. What's the truth there? Do you think that by Marshall speaking out against some of these so-called criminal justice reform measures and the timing of them and this dead police officer, that he's really onto something here from a policy standpoint, or this is just politics?
I don't think it's politics on Marshall's part. And I say that because, you know, before he ever became the attorney general, he spent years as a prosecutor. And he's one of those, like Connie Rowe, who was on my show the other day, who has spent years putting bad guys away only to watch them get out early. And that's always frustrating for folks. It's sort of like the deep sentiments that I have about Afghanistan having served there. Well, they feel the same way, in my opinion, about criminals with light sentencing and with easy outs, if you will. And this guy that was, you know, that killed the folks, including our law enforcement officer up here in Sheffield, he wasn't let out under that new plan. But nonetheless, it was the overall sentiment of let them out early. Maybe that'll reduce the number of beds that are being taken up. Meanwhile, prosecutors and law enforcement have to watch the bad guys go walk. And I think that frustrated Marshall to no end. Go ahead, Dale.
Trick question, because it's both. It's smart politics and it's smart policy. The sweet spot that you really want to be in. And I think that this is that. I think this is exactly what needed to be said here. I think there's a lot of people that have a problem with the idea that prison reform means letting more people out of prison. I don't think people buy in on that. I don't think that's what the people in the great state of Alabama want, and I don't think that's what they're going to get at the end of the day. But it's also very smart politics here because, you know, here, like I said, that, and then the policy side, the policy side is no one ever said, let's let more people out of prison. That's just a completely made-up Democrat talking point that the way you reform prisons is by letting people out. Nobody buys that. And so I don't think we're going to see people out there fighting for that.
All right. Well, last question of the day with about 2.5 to 3 minutes to go. Dale, what you got, buddy?
All right. So the DOJ has decided that domestic terrorism is a big issue, especially those evil domestic terrorists that we're seeing at school board meetings. Yet they've all been quiet. And including the president of the United States has been quiet on what happened to Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and things like that, where people are actually showing up at their homes and following them into bathrooms and things like that. More of a threat, I would imagine. Will we see anything from the DOJ about the other issue that we saw with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin? Or is it just solely about we got to stop those rascals at the school board?
Short answer, no, we will not see anything from the DOJ. I had one of my callers the other day that said that what we need to do is move all school board meetings to the women's room so that we can make sure that we can do whatever we want without having to worry about the DOJ. And I agree with that. We also, I just played a clip earlier today, I don't know if y'all seen it or not, on MSNBC, Joyce Vance, former U.S. attorney who's now a law professor at Alabama. She was on MSNBC claiming that a lot of this is related to white supremacy and the inability to have good mental health for the people who are going to these school board meetings, and we need to address that on a national basis. So that's an Alabama connection to the crap. But, Jeff, your thoughts?
No, we're not going to see anything happen to this. A Democrat U.S. senator, but it kind of shows the double standard applied to everything the left does these days. They don't even care anymore that the ends justify the means is the ruling mantra now. And, does that last forever or will people just start shrugging it off? I tend to think these things kind of go in cycles, but maybe I'm wrong that we're always going to have a left, institutional left in America that's held to a different standard than everything else anybody does.
30 seconds, Dale. Wrap up your own question. What do you think?
No, I agree with the comment earlier where you said that we should hold these meetings inside women's bathrooms and then we can do whatever we want. So I think that's the correct position to be taking because this has just gotten absolutely out of hand. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely. All right, fellas. Appreciate you as always. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coast. Our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. I'm Phil Williams. This is the Grand Council, and we appreciate you being tuned in once more. All right, fellas, you guys have a great week, and we'll have you back again next Thursday. Well, folks, that is just one of my most enjoyable sections. Those guys are sharp, and every time we do that, I wind up hearing something, whether it be just the coining of a phrase or an opinion about a policy issue or a thing in the news that straightens up my spine a little bit and gives me some ammunition for the next go-round. Those are good fellas. All right, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. Last half hour, I'm going to open up the phones. If you want to call in, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. What's on your mind? We'll be right back.